And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week. When they don't get to say everything that's on their minds, so they have an extra one. And that's how we get the podcast. The podcast. The podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Big D and Bubba podcast. The podcast. The podcast.
Oh, here we go.
Big D and Bubba's podcast.
Is it the goal?
Yes.
I can't hardly move. I got one leg.
Oh, you talked on her, man.
I can't move. I got one leg.
Okay, real quick before we dive into this, the podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day.
What up, Sinbad?
So y'all podcast or radio show?
We're both.
So y'all doing both at the same time?
Right now, at this very moment.
Ooh, that's cheating.
Yeah.
No, because you guys put on
Facebook Live.
No,
so
but
we
see,
got,
no, you can't do a podcast and radio show because it should take up your whole life. You should do the radio show, and then you have to go do a podcast.
Well, that's
takes
what
up more of your life.
This is a little bit of the same.
Yeah, man, well, but that's cheating. You know, it's going to be like, you should have no life.
We did that
for a long time.
what you don't understand,
for a decade, you know what we did?
What?
For a decade, we did syndicated morning shows for, I don't know, at the time, it was like 40 years
stations,
or so.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we would go back in the afternoon into the same studio and do a live afternoon show as well. We did that for a decade, and it almost killed us.
Like, yeah, but that's what it takes. That's what you do with the podcast.
No, it was awful.
The podcast is actually, it's funny because it's actually an unwinding thing. Like, you know, we save it for the end of the week.
Yes.
And
really?
It's kind of like the way we decompress and go, okay.
You know what? It's basically, it's the show without the music and the spots. Commercials.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. So you guys kind of edited it up and everything like that?
What, the show?
You're trying to fit in,
you know, just a little background here. You know, you've done radio before. You've got consultants and program directors who are like, we need this many songs per hour.
Don't talk, damn it.
And that's what happens.
Don't talk.
So what happens is you have to hit the top of the hour at, you know,
at the top of
659, 59.9.
Yep.
So you have to kind of go, okay, how many songs can I fit in and still say some funny stuff in between and all that kind of stuff and hope and pray that you can make it work every single hour, every single day, every day of the week.
See, the podcast is more like what radio used to be. See, they call them popular. Radio.
That's a good point.
It's what radio was when you drove it.
Yeah,
that's
exactly right.
Drove the show.
Now, I will say this. Our show is like that, though. Like, we really don't do, I mean, we own the company, so we kind of just do it our way. And if they don't like it, okay. So,
but we still kind of make them happy.
We still try to make them happy. Got to pay bills.
You got to pay bills, man. Yeah, yeah. Are you rocking a mohawk now? Have you always had a mohawk?
No, I had a mohawk back in the 90s. It's just like I decided to do something different.
I was cutting
all my hair off. And I just left the middle part. I said, wait a minute.
I like
wait a
it.
Minute. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to rock this.
You look so dangerous.
Then I started growing a beard at the same time. It was just during that period. I had 2 weeks off. I said, let me see. If I like it in 2 weeks, I keep it. If not, I cut it off. So now I keep it.
Now, you have a full head of hair, though, right?
No. You know, yeah, but you know, it won't grow the afro. I can't get my afro. I have hair.
But you don't have, like, spots.
I can't get the fro. I'm thinning right in here, man.
Oh, see, I want to just shave it.
That's where it starts.
I just want to go.
I shave my hair off. I went bald for 3 years. I prepared myself to be bald by going bald when I had no reason to.
Now, the time, do you remember the day when you said, I'm doing it? Today's the day I'm going completely bald.
Yeah, that was right before. It was 94 when I went to the Just for Last in Montreal.
You did it right before you went on to a big thing?
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you got to do, bro. We actually do the same thing.
We call it throwing your hat over.
There's a commit.
Yeah, you commit.
There's a rock and roll singer from the Smashing Pumpkins, Billy Corgan. He had hair, and he realized he was losing it. Shaved his head totally bald the day he was on Saturday Night Live promoting one of their biggest records back
in the
90s.
That was smart because that became his new look.
Yeah, and that was it. He was on Saturday Night Live. It was like, oh, he was bald, and then now he's known for being bald.
Rather than known for the guy like, damn, why is he hanging on to it?
Yeah,
you don't want to be the dude.
I feel like I'm that guy.
Dude, yeah, but you wear a hat so much.
I feel like I'm hanging on.
Man, you can't hang.
But how do I sit there and I just go,
let it go?
Let go.
Day
I
to day.
I shaved my head, man.
Did you do it yourself?
I went to the art of shaving. I got the super razor, the cool creams. Oh, the art of shaving got the best stuff in the world.
Is that where they do the close shave?
Yeah, but I did it myself. I bought the stuff so I could do my own hair. You don't cut yourself because they got the balm, they got the lemon balm, they got the triple edge razor.
Aren't you worried about missing a spot or something?
No,
like,
I use a mirror. Dude, I'm good at this. I do this. I get my mirror and I do it, man.
Kudos to you,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, man, I cut my hair a long time ago. I dyed my hair.
Will you shave my hair?
I'll shave it, man.
I don't even like cutting. I mean, shaving, because then I'm like, you know, you got to make sure your sideburns are the right length and all that stuff.
You always
get those
somebody to fix it. Now you cut it down too far. Yeah, and then you got to go to the barber like this. What you do, man? Yeah. And they do it so easy. Then you're like, you're just dealing with it like this. What you do? Nothing. So what you do is a mohawk.
I just woke up like this.
Nothing.
I didn't do anything.
The last guy did it. The last dude messed it up.
Yeah. Always blame the last dude.
Great cuts did that.
You don't go to any place called Great Cuts. You don't get anywhere with cuts in it. You don't get anywhere like super scissors. You don't know.
Hair places have the best names.
They do have good names.
Hair places are like, you know, sheer elegance and stuff.
Yes,
or you know, scissor, I don't know, whatever their things
are. Rare essence.
Yes.
Wild hair. Follicle.
Sinbad, I got to tell you. I'm as white and doughy as they come. Every once in a while, I'll be driving through and I'll see like where they have it's 10 o'clock at night and barbershops are open.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like,
yeah. Like neighborhood, man.
White folk don't do that.
Oh, no, man. No. We get our hair cut and we don't open on Monday.
Don't open on Monday.
Why is that?
Because they work on Saturday.
But the small ones, there's places in Detroit, place we're from. 7 days a week. Some even do 24 hours. Players can go and get their hair cut 2, 3, 4 in the morning.
Wow.
Yes.
2 in the morning?
Yes.
What's really going on there?
The players, the gangsters, the hustlers.
That's their hangout.
That's when they go get their hair done.
But see, like, we miss – that's a big part of black culture, though, is the barbershop.
Oh,
I mean, there's movies made about it.
Oh, dude. Yeah, you want to hear the best?
I'm going to tell you a story. And I was learning my way to drive home. So I'm driving by. I've lived there 2 weeks. And I'm driving through the neighborhood, and I see Michael's Barbershop. And I'm like, yo, Michael's Barbershop. I used to have long hair. So I cut it short, and I was like, you know what? I hadn't been to a barbershop in so long because I had the long hair. I'm going to go in to this barbershop and just get a haircut,
go
just an old-fashioned haircut. That's right. Mm. I parked my car. There was like 5, 6 cars in the parking lot. And I walked up to the door, and I could hear everyone inside laughing and carrying on, having a good time. I opened the door and it fell dead silent. Everybody just stared
can
at
I
help me
you?
Like,
"Can I help you?"
And at that point, I can't turn
you?
Around.
No,
I
but
can't
you know what?
Open the door and be like, "Oh, excuse me."
We cut white hair though. That's the funny part. Remember, if you begin to get your license, all black barbers have to cut white hair. See, white barbers might not cut black hair, but there's not a black barber who can't cut white hair. Because when you go to barber training school, you have to learn it.
They did a good job.
So, yeah.
But here's where it got weird. I sat down, and it stayed quiet. Everybody just kept looking around like, you know.
Yeah, because they were talking about the white man before you came in.
Yeah, of course.
So they had to calm down the white man conversation until the white man left.
This old man comes out the back, about 65, 70 years old. He comes out, and he had to be older than that. He had all gray hair and big glasses. It comes clean off the seat, looks around, and goes, "Who next? Fluffy, you next?" And I was like,
I looked around for one second
like, he didn't mean me. No, look around and I went, you know what, I'm there. That's me.
That's too funny. That's too funny.
I wish you had said White Devil. White Devil, you next? Who's up? You next, White Devil?
Hey. I have a friend of mine, son, played football at USC. Now he's Chinese. But he grew up with brothers, man, played football with brothers. He goes to Hawaii. He goes, where's the barbershop? They said, no, we're the black barbershop. I said, what? It's called King's. King's is the famous black barbershop in Honolulu. He walks in the door. And everybody say, "Yo, you in the right place?" He says, "Does it look like I'm in the right place?" This young man, sit down, bro. And he became, his picture's on the wall.
Really?
His picture. I had to tell his dad, I said, "Man, your son, Richie's picture is on the wall at King's Barbershop." He goes, "Yeah, he told me about the story. That was his spot." He says, "Where's the black barbershop?" He walked in, they were like this. "Yo, you in the right spot?" He goes, "I look like I'm in the right spot." They said, "Dude, sit down, man.
You in now.
You in
I'm
here
gonna
now.
I'm going to remember that next time. When they look at me and go, "Just look like I'm in the right spot." And no.
All you do is like this. "I know where I'm at."
Yeah.
When you said that, the whole move, man. If you said, "I know where I'm at," the whole move. When you had that fish, hit the deer in the headlight like.
Do I leave? Do I run? Yeah. Do I go
and
in?
They know what you felt. If you walked in, "What's up?" and just sat down and waited your turn, they go like, "Oh, he been here."
This ain't your first rodeo.
Yeah,
man.
This ain't your first rodeo.
I have to do this. I'm going to be a total geek right now. I'm obsessed with stand-up comedy since I was 10 years old.
Cool.
It's all, I mean, it's the way people talk about music that's important to them, that's how I feel about comedians and certain specials. Uh-huh. And I have to tell you, man, you had that special with the blue tracksuit,
Brain damage.
Brain damage.
Yeah.
I watched that thing 25, 30 times.
Can I tell you something? Stacy, my wife and her aunt and her grandma and all that, they would sit around, and anytime they were watching TV, they had it on VHS, and they would play it. They've probably watched. She told me last night when I told her that you were coming in, she goes, "You've got to ask Sinbad, can I get a copy? Is it online anywhere?" Funny.
At that time, there were no DVDs. There were no ownerships. So when I did that special for HBO, it was the highest rated special for HBO. It might still be. But after that one, I said, man, it's like music. I was the first cat to own my specials. So that special, I owned everything else. I had to go through my vault. I had to get some stuff. I have digital. I told HBO, you got to release it. You got to release this one. It's the only one people can't get. It's my first one.
And everybody who's ever saw it.
Is it going to be available?
Yeah. If not, I'm gonna bootleg it and put up what I have. I have the copies in my I have a place where I keep all my videos, and I have a copy from when we taped that.
You just sell them at your shows.
Yes, yeah, so I'm gonna put it up, man, for people because people keep asking for it.
If that was on Netflix next week, it would be huge.
Huge.
Like one of those things. Like, yeah, they ought to do that. I still remember. Because I was a kid.
Are you going to start quoting the special?
A little bit, just one. I was about 11 years old, and I remember talking about kids and candy on the playground.
Man. Five cent, boy.
You were in my front yard. I was like, yeah, pixie sticks, man. That's what I'm talking.
And I had dancers. Nobody had done that yet. No. I had music. Mm-mm. Dude, I pushed them to the limit. HBO was like, what the hell is this? I pushed them to the limit, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happened to look at it for the first time in about 10 years because I had to they're doing this, the history of comedy, and they want some of my stuff. And they go like, do you have anything from Brain Damage? So I had to go into the vault and cut up some stuff to give to them. I ended up watching. I said, wow, this is pretty good. We did this. My brother and I, my team, we did all our stuff.
You know, you're in the middle of it. I mean, you put yourself back in the day when you're doing that. Man, you're just like, you're excited. You're pumped. You're just like, hey, let's do this. And you go back. And most of the time, we remember things better than they really were.
Yeah.
But it is it's truly magic and gold when you go back and look at it and go, meh.
Wow, that was really good.
Pretty good.
And I remember the whole night. I remember us trying to edit. Dude, they made me do two shows. I told HBO, two shows. I said, dude, that's going to be too much material. She goes, and I'll never forget. Trust me,
you had to do two different shows worth of material.
Well, they thought you could do the same show. I said, I don't do the same show.
Oh wow!
So I ended up doing two-hour shows to do a one-hour special. After the first show, she says, "Oh my god," she goes, "I'm leaving." I said, "It's there already." I said, "What?" She says, "Good luck trying to edit this." I said, "What?" She goes, "She called HBO." She goes, "He's got two specials in the first one." They said, "He's got two specials in the first one."
He doubled up.
I don't know what he's going to do with this. So we had to take. Like 4 hours of stuff to make 1 hour.
Wow.
So, man, I was sitting with the editor, Eric Sears, man. Eric was like, man, you got to make choice. No, keep that one. Keep
that's
that
my
one.
Baby. That's
he
my
said,
baby.
Look, man, go eat and come back. I'm going to cut some stuff out because I was too close to it.
Yeah, of course.
And he got it down to about an hour and a half. I said, what about it? He goes, trust me, man, just look.
Go to the barbershop.
We got to lose 30 minutes. I said, what? We got to lose 30 minutes.
Oh,
I said,
man.
Take that out. And, but it taught me how to look at stuff objectively. And go right to the meat of stuff. So I had to. There was so much. That's
wow. Well, you know.
Do you think that actually changed the way you did your do your comedy shows? Like, nope. Do you find yourself cutting to the meat? No, you don't.
No,
at all?
What it did was when I did the third one, the Afros and Bell Bottoms, I shot it live. There's no editing. It was shot live out to HBO.
Oh wow!
Only I and Howard Mandel have done it. So when we went up, it went air. It aired live. So it had to be just 1 hour. I didn't have to edit anything because that's all I did.
That's smart.
Wow.
Yeah.
Smart.
I do want to get a couple of these out here. Sinbad, of course, playing Zany's Nashville this weekend, New York City the first weekend of March, then Portland, Albuquerque, Tacoma, West Jordan. There's a whole list. If you go to your Facebook page, it's Sinbad, and look for the blue verified check mark right behind the name, so you know you're getting the right one, not one of the fakes, because there's bunch of them out there. You'll see everything as far as what dates and where he's at, but you got to catch him on the road. I mean, you got to catch him.
Yeah, see me live. If you thought you saw me until you see me live, it's like watching a band. You know, you see him live, you go rebuy the album, because you go like, oh, man, I must have missed something on the album. When I was young, I would go rebuy the album because I thought, what did they do that I missed?
Yeah. Well, you've been doing it. By the way, I wanted to, we were inadvertently talking about you.
Two weeks ago. Bet you get this all the time, but we have to bring it up.
It was, what's the effect?
Mandela effect.
And
whenever you, with us, we were talking about the Berenstain Bears and how everyone thinks it was spelled differently.
Oh yeah,
and
everybody thinks I was in Black Panther. Dude, it's been so crazy.
You look different without the suit on.
Everybody keeps calling me, man. Dude, what was like playing in Wakanda? I said, dude, it wasn't me.
That wasn't you.
It's Michael B. Jordan and them, and people just swear. So you know what, man? True, I might.
He looks a lot like you.
I know a lot. I know. So I can understand people thinking I was the Black Panther, and I take it as a compliment.
So you're saying it's not true?
The Black Panther
was not true. That was not true.
I was not in it. They think I was the panther sitting in the tree, the version where he goes to visit his dad.
Is that Sinbad?
If you look at the panther, you can kind of tell it's very Sinbad-esque.
It's the mohawk. That's what throws people off.
Yeah, Sinbad-esque, man. So I can see how somebody could think.
When is the first time someone brought up that whole thing with the movie you weren't really in that they thought?
It was only about 2 years ago.
It's only started kind of a recent thing?
Yeah, it was only a couple years ago.
Really? You
know? Yeah. It's recent. It just came out of nowhere. It just came out of nowhere.
And were you like, wait, what?
Wait, what? I can see
why somebody would think I played a genie. I can see why somebody, my name is Sinbad.
Yeah.
I did a weekend, bunch of Sinbad. I hosted a Sinbad movie marathon. Sinbad the Sailor had a turban on.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the turban and everything on, looking like Sinbad the Sailor.
Do you think people, maybe that's what they saw and they put
but
that
they're too
memory
young, some people are kids, they remember
that's
scenes.
That's it.
Well, and also, no something that. Else that's throwing things off is they did, who was it, like Funny or Die or Comedy Central or somebody did a thing where going, they found the lost footage from Disney Channel movie.
We shot that for April Fool's.
Yeah, oh, it was an April Fool's thing. But it really is,
humor.
But that has confused people
we
even
more.
We
shot it so well. We
oh
shot it so
gosh.
Well. Dude, we shot it.
It looks
so,
like an old VHS.
We got. It looks like if you look in the garage, we got some things from 2015 just to mess with people.
Okay, wait, what was this? I missed this.
We shot. I said if anybody could find the tapes, I'll give them like $5,000-$10,000. Well, College Humor said my son and I were going to shoot a fake opening or a fake piece of video from the movie
from the movie that didn't exist.
They ended up calling us. Hey, man, we want to shoot this. I said, me and my son were talking about it. So my son and I, we went down. So we shot, you know, it looks like the opening scene from the movie.
Oh, is that online somewhere?
Yeah, it's online. College that's where I saw it. I remember it was an April Fool's thing, and it was great, man.
Oh, that is
but people realized it was April Fool's ago. So I told you somebody
I
said.
I knew it.
I said, you know it's April Fool's, right?
You just made it worse. You just made it worse.
And then,
you just confirmed it.
If they look, the shirt I'm wearing is a Navy Blue shirt from now. It's a, what's my man's name? Come on, man. One more check. The shirts I wear all the time.
Is it
wisdom, knowledge. It's always on the edge.
Do I need to Google it or Bing it?
Yeah, oh, yeah man. What am I tripping?
Faith,
man?
Wisdom, knowledge. Faith, yeah. Faith, wisdom, knowledge. Faith, wisdom,
designer,
knowledge.
Man.
Faith.
Oh, man, why am I? Dude, I'm losing my mind.
You're talking about
Symposium Judgment, Barnabas something.
Shirts.
Fountain
question.
Of the World. Krishnaventa.
Nope.
Robert Graham
shirt.
Oh, dude, I'll wear me out some Robert Graham shirts.
Dude, it's Robert Graham.
That's my go-to.
For big dudes, dude, stylist.
Dude, it's a fat guy shirt.
The shirt I'm wearing, I cut the collar off, man, at Nehru. It's a Robert Graham shirt. Everybody goes, look. I said, dude, look at the shirt, dude.
Like, do you have your sleeves rolled up and it's the different little pattern and everything?
Oh, dude, I got the hat on.
Oh.
The kids find me, they find this lamp in the garage.
I'm going to have to go back
and
watch it
just
to see those things.
Yeah.
That's so funny that you, like, if you go into my closet and you go and you look, it's black T-shirt, black T-shirt, black T-shirt. Oh, my God. What is that shirt?
Robert Graham.
Because of
black
the
shirt,
the
black
pattern
shirt
on those Robert
Graham. The best patterns. And I take all the collars off. So I make them neighborhood collars.
Well, you take the collar? What are you talking about?
So he has them yeah, customed.
So I have them custom. So it looks like, you know, when I play music in the band, I get that the band, like a neighborhood jacket, like the one that's really cool.
Man, how do you do that? You have them do that?
Get a seamstress and they do it.
Have them do it. Everybody's like this. So I take it to the tailor. They take all the collars off. People are like, man, where did Robert Grant come up with that? I go like, oh, you can buy it. They can't find them.
Can't find it.
I said, yeah, you can buy them at Nordstrom's.
That's great.
I customize my own. Robert,
you know, some of the other Mandela effects are the Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, but that's not really big, so you spelled it wrong.
People are just so passionate about it. They believe that.
But people think it's called Berenstain and not Stain.
McDonald's.
It's McDonald's.
It's not
McDonald's. People think it was McDonald's.
It's not the Big Mac, but Big Mac sounded stupid. I did a commercial for McDonald's. They said McDonald's. I said, it's not Mac. I said, but you call it the Big Mac. They said, just do what the advertiser said. It's called McDonald's.
But when you were a kid.
Mind blown. What do you mean when I'm a kid? It's still.
It's McDonald's.
Wow. Oh, my God. You're right. It is McDonald's.
It's McDonald's. But it's called the Big Mac.
Instead of the
because
Big Mac.
Because Big Mac sounds silly.
Big Mac sounds stupid.
I think the Big Mac is what they called it at the fake McDonald's in the movie Coming to America.
McDougal's.
They have the Golden Arches. We have the Golden Arch. They have the Big Mac. We have the Big Mac.
Did you see the movie Michael Keaton about the real Ray Kroc?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I didn't.
I wouldn't eat McDonald's for 5 months after I watched that movie. What he did was so low. Mm-hmm. What he did was so wrong. Ray Kroc gets all this credit for what other two brothers really did. They trusted too much. They were good people, and they trusted Ray Kroc. Ray Kroc, they gave him the rights to franchise it. He stole it from him, and he stole one guy's wife.
What?
God, dude.
But at the same time, and I'm not defending him. That company would have never been.
Remember, they said they tried to franchise before. It didn't work.
Yeah.
But why couldn't he, when he said, I'll do a handshake, but I won't sign a contract, why couldn't he just give him the money? He owed them hundreds of millions of dollars. My thing is just let him do it. He was a great businessman.
Mm-hmm.
He hated how people treated him, but you treated people the same way you got treated.
It happens all
the
time.
He shook their hand. Okay, I'll let you do the franchising. And one brother almost had a heart attack. He said, I won't put in the contract, but I'll shake your hand that I'll give you the royalties. And they owed hundreds of the original family. Then he took their McDonald's from them. He took the original
like
one
their
from
one
them.
From them?
He took it.
Okay, I'm going to have to go watch them. The movie. I've seen it, and it's in my little list.
He's
on
aggressive.
Netflix.
Michael Keaton's aggressive. He was selling milkshake machines. These guys would practice their hamburger stuff on a chalked out thing in the parking lot, how to move. They invented different things. They were incredible.
Yeah. How to make it fast.
Yes.
You know.
How to make it fast.
Speaking of documentaries, there's a documentary that I'm famous about talking about because it is, I believe, 100% true. It's a little wacky, mm-hmm. kooky, but it's called Unacknowledged, and it has to do with the fact that aliens have been visiting Earth. And we have been in contact, and we have technology from alien.
Can't believe you're bringing this up.
Technologies.
I'll tell you this much. Go to Area 51.
Have you been?
Try to drive up on it.
Oh, you
try to drive up on it. We were doing a movie. There's another place out in California where they're supposed to be at. I was doing a cowboy movie. Guys, you want to see something interesting? Mm-hmm. Let's start driving toward that government facility. Man, cars came from everywhere.
Wait, you're off the mic for
one minute. Cars came from, everywhere.
Just because you started driving toward it?
Driving toward it.
Uh-huh.
Everywhere.
And like they didn't exist before. What they did is they rose up out of the desert.
No, they just... I believe this, man. I can't say there was because like the pyramids, there's no way to explain how the pyramids got built. There's no way to explain.
There isn't.
And they say it's kite. It says a kite key. They're saying it can fly. Today, we can't build a pyramid like they can build. Think about it. There's things we can't do today that they were doing then. But all the mathematics that we have. So I'm like this. You never know what was out there.
Do you watch Ancient Aliens?
Yes, I do.
I love that show.
I love that show, man. Wouldn't it be funny, man, if all of us sitting here and I was an alien and we're talking this stuff and I leave and I call my guys. They still don't believe us. Yes.
Are you an alien?
You probably are an alien.
Are you an alien?
You never know. You don't want to be put in a pod, brother.
You know what I would make you? I don't think you're an alien, but you know what you could very well be?
A hybrid?
No. You could be...
The keeper.
No. Hang on, guys. You could be a CIA agent.
or the keeper of the aliens.
No, I believe you could be an agent because you have access to a lot of people.
And you can travel with a great cover.
Yep, you get the perfect cover. Of course he's – I mean, he cuts his collars off.
Two things I could be. He's an agent or a great hitman. I wrote a movie about a comic who was broke and owed the money IRS. Who better to make a hitman? You get access. You go through airport. No one ever stops you. Send me to places. Have them book a show.
Did anybody pick it up?
I was there.
Did anybody pick it up?
They would have. They couldn't see me. This is the problem. They got so busy. Simply, we don't see you as that. I said,
that's the point of the movie.
I said, so you see Joe Pesci as a gangster. You see John Travolta as a gangster.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't see me. I said, how about this? How about if I knock you out right here in this office? And then he did this. Then he happened. I said, I'm playing. But see, when you got scared, then he goes like this. That wasn't acting. That's really him. I said, I can't win. So now, he thought I was really crazy. So he got scared. I said, dude, I was trying to show you that, you know,
that you
the
can,
range. The range is there.
Yeah.
And what if I am? What if I am that way? Then let me play that.
Yeah. Let me John Wick you right here with a pencil and just get it done.
Do you think my man is the Matrix? Do you think he's John Wick?
He should be, because that's pretty impressive.
He's Bill and Ted. That's Bill and Ted, man. Come on.
If they could take Ted and make him into Neo.
They made Ted.
Then I could take the bad guy from Jingle All the Way and make him into.
Dude, it's been crazy. I wrote this vampire flick I'm going to do with Netflix called Bad Blood. It's a mix of a Deadpool, Blade, and Equalizer.
So this did get picked up.
Well, I'm trying to get it picked up right now. That's what I want to do. And I just think I got to do something. I think I have to just, like, attack somebody. Somebody can go viral.
Mm-hmm. You know what you could do?
Yeah.
You could hit Patrick in the face.
No,
right on now.
Oh, I take you to a black barbershop, but we're really vampires.
And when you walk in, you go, you in the right place? You go,
when you walk
hell
in,
yeah,
man,
I am.
When you walk in, the door locks you like this. What's going on? Got any family? Anybody going to miss you?
Hey, you know, here's a funny thing. So I used to work, at this building. It had several radio stations in it at the time. And I would always, I think I even told you guys this. I would always, in the break room, I would hang out with some of the guys from the urban station.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a couple of black guys, and we'd hang out. And every time I'd see them, you know, we'd be like walking into the bathroom, getting coffee. And this one black guy would always come to me. I go, hey, man, what's going on? Whatever his name was. And he goes, hey, D, how you feeling? And I'm like, well, good. I guess I'm fine. Why? He's like, huh? I go, why? He's like, what do you mean, why? I go,
is the flu going around?
Yeah, are we supposed to get the shot? I didn't get the shot. And so I started talking to him, and like this went on for like a couple of weeks. And finally I said, hey, man, so your way of like saying hi is how you feeling? He goes, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what we all say. It's how you feeling. I'm like, oh, God, I want to do that.
So see, now, I'm going to try to answer that, though. Ask me that.
What's up, Sinbad? How you feeling?
All good.
All good.
Good.
Bam.
See he's instantly cooler than you.
Yeah, all good, man.
And I know who you're talking about, and that guy was cooler than you, too.
I know he was.
Was it the station, the one? I think I just left that one. You got to go upstairs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just left there.
Yeah.
I just left the station, man.
Yeah, they're all the same. It's like the vibe or something.
But that's how everybody talks. Like, what's up, man?
It's all good, man.
You don't go like, hey, what's up? Well, you know, I just got sick.
Well, you just got over the flu.
How you feeling? Look tired. No.
If you do that, how you doing, man? I had your surgery. Oh, yo, man. What's up? Then he goes into that.
Uh-huh.
But you never go like, why'd you ask me that? I ask you, what?
Yeah, I was super white.
Then you go like this. Then you go like this. Yes. And I talk to him no more.
It's right.
And everybody says, don't talk to him. Don't.
Look, he doesn't know how to answer the hello.
He did. I mean, but you know what? I learned a lot.
James Wesley Jackson was a philosopher and a comedian. Smartest guy I ever met. I learned he didn't waste words. Hey, man, how you doing? You know, I'm going to tell you something, brother. Right now, I'm in this state of mind. He would actually answer you. He goes, don't ask questions you don't want answers to.
Oh, wow.
I do that all the time.
I would sit with him. He changed my life. We were going to a nightclub. He'd just wear denim. Women would be all sitting around him. And then we all begging. We're in this club begging. Can't meet women. He goes, your needs are showing. They know you need it, so they can give it to you anytime they want to. He said, come in here looking like you're a beggar. He said, you got to think like a woman, man. You got to have, I want that one or that one. If not, I leave. He said, start leaving. Don't be there when the club closed. Mm. I said, dude, I start doing some of his stuff. He goes, man, God, are you guys going to Denny's? I'm like, man, it was a mess. I'm not getting none. He goes, like, they don't owe you anything. No one owes you sex. Nobody owes you anything because you sat down. She said, she wasted my time. How did she waste your time? Did you talk to her? Did she have a conversation with her? He said, if you're just trying to have sex, why don't you just call the call girl? Because that's how you're treating the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, don't bring Wesley.
God, Wesley.
But he.
Dang it, Wesley.
He's like a Jedi.
Dude, to this day, why do you think I remember that name? I was 25 years old. It was 1983, 84, bro. And I still remember this mm-hmm. cat sitting looking at me like, what are you doing? I said, what? What are you doing? He says, why can't you answer the question? Why isn't he asking what they're doing? You mean I didn't need you to explain it? I'm asking what you're doing. Now we wasted a minute. You wasted a minute of life. What are you doing? He told me, if you can't explain what you're doing in 2 minutes, you don't know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's deep.
He said, argument should never take over 6 minutes. That's, each person gets a chance to talk three times. I said,
okay.
God, can
that's
you?
That's a great rule. I think I'm going to start adopting.
Yeah, when I say, can we tell?
Fights, I bring an egg timer. Remember that 2 minute manager?
Uh-huh.
You know, people say, I never get a chance to talk. So I videotaped everybody who said they never get a chance to talk. My daughter talked for 17 minutes straight. You talked for 17 minutes straight. Did you go like this? You taped me? So that still didn't work. Now they made you tape me. So when I do, I bring an egg timer and said, everybody gets to say something for 2 minutes. Do you know how
hard
it is?
And that's it, just 2 minutes.
Do you know people, it almost kills them?
Can't fill it up.
Plus in 2 minutes, I can remember what you said so I can respond to it. Instead of like, if you're talking long, now I can't listen to you. I try to remember what I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets 2 minutes.
Boy, that's true. How many times do you get in an argument and you lose your place because you're like, oh, I gotta respond to that, and then they keep going and you forget.
Are you making notes while they're arguing? What are you doing? You're talking so much, I gotta make notes how to answer each one of these.
You don't have to use an egg timer. You've got those little timers on your phone too.
Egg timer, I mean, that's easy. No, egg timer, it's good visual. Look at it.
But you got a sound. You go.
No, egg timer beats it.
You see it.
Yeah, but then you got to carry an egg timer with you everywhere.
In my bag,
exactly.
In my book bag.
But I carry mine around my neck. That's cool, man. Right?
That'd be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
No, just flip it over. TikTok talk, man.
TikTok talk.
Yeah, TikTok talk.
You'd be
man.
Like, what's his face?
Flavor Flav.
Flavor Flav. But that would be the worst version of that ever.
No, it'd be like, hey, man, can I tell you something?
Yes.
You got 2 minutes.
Everybody says, man, I got to be smart 5 minutes. You got 2 minutes. No, and here's the rule. If you flip it and they got to look at it, and then they're wasting time, go like, really? Dude, when this runs out, we're through.
You know.
Finished.
Okay, so I've been divorced for 7 years, and I've been living single for almost all of that. And then about 3 months ago, I got a new girlfriend. And I'm having to relearn something that I forgot about,
sharing.
Which is that – what's that?
Sharing.
Yeah, no, it's that some people don't have any concept of time. Some people say, how when do we have to leave? 15 minutes. Okay, and then 20 minutes later, I'm going
– that's sharing. You're learning – it's been your time. It's been your life.
Mm-hmm.
You said they have a concept of time. That's their concept of time. You now have to share.
With their concept of time.
You now have
is
to share
none.
Their concept of time, whatever that concept is. That's why when you've been single for a while, go back to dating, go like this. I ain't doing nothing hard. Dude, when I was single, before, you know, I was divorced for 12 years. I would be at a movie theater woman realize it's the last time I'm ever going to see her. I like
I've been on
ate.
That date.
I don't like the way she ordered popcorn. Why should I have to adjust? If I'm not over heels in love, why should I adjust that you go like, you went inside, so I'm not hungry. And once I sat down, you know, I really could use some popcorn. I looked at her. You probably need to go get that.
Did she really? Get
and she looked at me. I said, look, I asked you before we walked in.
Oh, nice.
Here's my concept. Once I'm in the movie theater, I like to watch it. Here's your concept. You said you weren't hungry, but now you are. That's your thing. I'm not going to adjust to your thing. And she looked at me, what is it? I said, I'm just telling you how it works.
So I get an egg timer. You get me back in 2 minutes.
No, you come back whenever you feel like it. You can miss the whole movie. You know, people like this, you missed the best part. I will not replay it for you. I will not retell you what happened.
Or what happened? I
won't. I'll go like this. Just watch it again. What? Watch it again when you're not with me.
That's right.
And then the car like this. You're not going to tell me? It's not a tell me thing. It's a movie, so you need to see it. I'm not going to tell you because it was there. You went to get some popcorn. You missed a really good part.
You made a choice.
I think I know why you were single for 12 years.
Jeez, no kidding.
No, I would. No.
Good God.
Single means... I wanted to be single.
Yeah.
I wasn't looking. I was never.
You wasn't ready to adjust.
I had two kids. I was happy. See, that's what people are not used to. People are like, oh, you're single. I'm happy. People don't get the fact you can be happy single. Mm-hmm. That's what throws people off. That, like, man, how's this looking like? Great. Get up when I want. Go where I want. Eat what I want. Do this. It's kind of how life started. Think about it. It's kind of life how life starts. Then you get married. Everybody goes, well, marriage is work. It's compromise. Blah. It's all this. You got to feel. You got to really put time. You know what? You got every sometimes up and sometimes down. Sometimes right down. Dude, even a basketball team, we don't have that many speeches. Look, we're trying to win the game. Everybody, let's bond together, put our differences behind us. We might hate each other. Pep talk, out. Not like, I don't know if I like how you said. I'm not rebounding the best I can. I take
pay money
offense
to hear
at that.
Draymond Green say that at halftime.
That'd be a great sketch. If a basketball team was run like a relationship, can I say something?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's about to go out. Never mind. You know what you're saying.
Clearly, you don't
so
want to hear
not
what
rebound.
I have to say.
No. You're not going to rebound? I didn't think you needed me. I need you to rebound. I just need to know I'm needed. I just need to know that I'm needed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're like this. This is true. I don't want to be on this team anymore. I'm leaving this team. There's nothing else like marriage. Everything else, you don't get a chance to always talk. You don't get a chance. When you go to work, hey, man, I need you to work after 5. Man has something to do. Choice here, John.
Too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're married. Hey, this movie. I thought we were going to stay. I was going to watch Walking Dead. We're always watching Walking Dead. No, not always. It only comes on once a week. Now, once you say that, here comes the argument.
Right.
Once
you pull out the egg timer.
It's true.
Egg timer.
We only watch it once a week because it only comes on once a week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No, I don't. You said we're always watching it.
Oh,
always and never.
Oh.
There's two words that people should never use in argument. Always and never. It's seldom, always and ever. Mm. It's seldom.
Mm-hmm.
Seldom.
We should probably use that more. Seldom.
Yes.
Yes.
Like sometimes. Like sometimes you do this. You're right.
So
sometimes
are you telling me that like when you're with a girl and you say, and they
well,
say that.
You're married again now,
yeah,
right?
Okay. To my ex.
What?
Oh,
really?
Well, wait.
Whoa, wait.
You're one of those people?
Oh, my gosh.
Like we know like 12
why
people now.
This is what I just said. Why retrain somebody?
Oh, boy.
Why?
So you were divorced 12 years and you married the same lady?
Yeah, we're back together for 16 now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did she stay single?
No, she got married.
So in between there, she got married.
Yeah.
And then got divorced.
Mm-hmm.
How long? Okay, let me ask you this. How long was she divorced until you and her started talking? Or
probably about 3-4 years, something like that.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
So it was not a rebound?
No. Rebound's not fast. You don't have enough time to go. People get remarried after 2 or 3 years. We were married, divorced for almost 12 years. It takes a lot of time because you got to really let a lot go. You have to decide, what can I let go? If I come back, what can I really let go?
Why didn't it work? It was just because...
I wasn't ready to marry.
Wrong time?
We got married, just got into the game. I was just becoming a comedian. I wasn't ready for all this, man.
You know, it's interesting because how many times do you see somebody who, in kind of supporting that, how many times do you see somebody who gets into a relationship and then they get married, and then they break up, and then they go out and they find a person exactly like the person they just left.
Or the person they divorced, actually because of a good friend of theirs, because they were great friends.
Yeah,
right.
They become business partners, but they were great friends.
Yeah, this is nothing like my divorce, just for the record.
Uh-huh. My divorce was ugly. It was divorce. It was ugly divorce. We had 2 kids together, and I made a choice. I'm never getting married again. I said that. I'm never getting married again. And I was honest about that. I'm not going to get married again. I'm not going to have another woman say, I want to have her own kids. We got 2 with her. Let's have one with me. No, I'm going to get you a dog. No one else has a kid here. And the thing is, you have that right. See, people act like people don't have rights. You see a woman that's not married, women go like this. Well, you know, I can't believe you're not married. I'm happy not married. Are you really? And the person I was talking to is miserable as hell.
Right.
She got 3 kids. I'm like this. Who are you to tell this woman that she needs to be with somebody, and you hate your man.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Life is strange, man.
Now, there had to be a point where you go, when you're getting back, what's your wife's name?
Meredith.
When you and Meredith are back again, okay, and you're dating, you're talking, you're hanging out,
mm-hmm.
When was that moment where you went, do we just get married again? Do we just do that?
Yeah, you talk about like, you know what? You say, hey, you want to do this again?
Who approached that first, you or Meredith?
We both kind of hit it. You know, she was in my kitchen. She was dropping the kids off. And she was saying, hey, I miss my family. We just, you know, we all still went to events. All the son's games, my daughter's games. We weren't the people who couldn't sit together. Now, some people just, you know, I won't be there if they're there. But for me, it wasn't like that. Our kids were number one. That's one thing we did. Our kids were number one.
Did you guys continue to talk about, you know, like decisions for the kids? Like, you know, things like sports and all that?
But, you know, it was easier for me to be a parent when I was divorced. I could just do stuff with my kids I probably couldn't have done if I was married. I took my kids on the road for me. I took them out of school. I took my daughter to R-rated movies, you know, because she wanted to see the movie. Let's go.
Yeah.
I didn't have to have that argument when I came home.
Was that because you were trying to be the cool dad?
No. That's what I believed in. I saw them when I was a kid. I don't think they destroy you. It's called, kind of, what, say, what R-rating? What is it? And she was a movie buff. And she was like me. She was a Scorpio.
What does that mean?
Huh?
A Scorpio.
Astrology.
We got strong will. We got the same. She was going to go see it with somebody anyway. And I used to sneak other people's kids in the movie.
Man, listen, we used to watch Faces of Death growing up.
Yeah.
I
watched all them horror movies. I watched all that crap, man.
And you became a comedian. You didn't become a dog killer.
I didn't kill nobody. I think usually if you're a serial killer, it's kind of in you. I just have a belief. I think when you're a serial killer, you don't watch a movie like this. Oh, that's a good job. I think you start killing animals at a young age.
You're not inspired by Dexter.
Hey, you remember what are the three things, Patrick, that the psychologists say that all serial killers have?
Kill animals.
Kill animals. They wet the bed at a late age.
Yep. Really?
And there's one other thing. What
insecurity.
Is that what it is? I thought wet
the bed is insecurity.
Oh, yeah. But then there's a third thing that they do. I watched that thing on Netflix about FBI profilers and how they started out early, like in the, I don't know, 60s, I guess.
Almost all three. Yeah, I forget what you're talking about. But they have all three of those.
There's three traits that all serial killers have.
And you can find that
have.
On almost all of them?
But they all have hurt animals. All of them have hurt animals.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think those same traits are the same traits? And this is going to get, and again, I don't want to get into the politics of it, but I'm wondering, I'd like to see, like with the guy who did the shooting in Florida and all that. There's a murderous mind there.
But you don't know that kid. We don't know if he got bullied. See, bully can push you to another place too. You can go to another.
But I'm saying it would be interesting to find out if he had a history of hurting animals and things like that.
I don't know if he hurt animals, but you know what? Remember, that's different. Serial killer is different. We're talking about something like a serial killer.
Yeah, that shooting, is a different mindset.
Shooting is different. That's like somebody shoots somebody, never shot anybody before, got so angry that you come back to a nightclub and shoot somebody. Serial killer is premeditated.
I found what it is. What is it? It's bedwetting, animal torture or killing, and fire setting.
Fire setting.
I did the fire setting.
I did too, though. But
that's
I didn't
ADHD.
Do that
that's ADHD.
Yeah,
you were pyromaniacs.
Did you make? Did you make your own homemade bombs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was chemical warfare. I studied that.
Yeah, he did too. Major. He was into that.
Yeah, I was chemistry major.
So you would go and you'd make you mix gunpowder.
I sell them 4th of July. No, I made nitroglycerin, and then they called the state because they had to come get it. I was in a chemistry class.
Okay, who in this room did not make a bomb at one point in their childhood?
I feel
like we should say kids don't make bombs.
Don't do that because that's how a lot of kids lose.
It's bad for you.
I want to raise, you know, honestly.
Although it's good professional credit,
I did get an A.
I did get an A, and I watched Gunsmoke, and I always wanted to be, remember the scene in Gunsmoke, they always had the nitroglycerin in the back of the wagon. Said, be careful. Boom, and I always blew up the wagon. Mm-hmm. But then I found dynamite was nitroglycerin put in sawdust. So, and my science teacher was one that messed up. He goes like, you can't make nitroglycerin. I was in high school. He said, okay, stop. I said, no. He goes, I said, stop. I said, you said I couldn't do it.
Now look at me.
So the state came to investigate me because I had all these books I ordered from the library on chemical warfare, pyrotechnics, and they waited for me at my house. My dad said, man, what are you doing? I had a chemistry set in the basement. I showed guys how to break into homes using acid to cut through. Take a plunger, but take the acid, and put in a plastic bottle, cut through the glass, and then you can take sulfuric acid, put hydrochloric acid, put it on a string, let it go down the string, and eat the lockup.
Should we be talking?
Holy cow. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah, I wanted to be popular.
So at Sinbad's comedy show, he's going to teach people how to use nitroglycerin.
How many of y'all have always wanted to break into some place?
No, I didn't want to break in. I want to show other people breaking in so they'd be my friends. And these guys, they used to beat me up. Once they realized they could show on the break into places, but then when they got busted, they told the police, "How'd you get in?" They said, "Well, as they said, you're too stupid. Sinbad, so who shows you?"
Sinbad made me a bump Sinbad. Key.
So they took my cruise ship away. They came to my house. My dad said, "They're gonna take all your stuff." No, I collected all that stuff. I had a fan to blow the chemicals out the window basement. I realized all the plants were dead right around that window.
Dude. You were like Dexter's Laboratory.
Dude, I was.
You were literally running your own thing.
All you needed was an RV, man. And
I made bombs
been making meth.
4th of July. I said, this one's a killer, man. Then that nitrogen triglyceride is you put it on paper, but when you it's wet, nothing. But if you blow on it when it's wet, it'll blow up and leave purple stains everywhere. So I used to put little strips in the seats of people I hated. And they sit down. Boom!
What?
And everybody go like, "Can we talk to you?" "Why do you guys think it's me?"
Because you gave your neighbor cancer. That's why.
I put it in the trash can in the hallway. Somebody just threw some trash in there. Kabam! I said, "Oh, too much." And it rocked this trash can.
So have you ever gotten into, what is it, Bubba?
We did the sodium. Oh, Tannerite? Yeah, we did the sodium thing with water and all that.
Yeah, that's old school. That's your beginning spy kit.
Yeah, that's right.
That's your beginning spy kit.
Bro. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, you can buy that kit.
I know.
You can
Shame
buy that
on
online.
Me.
You can buy that online with Bork ass stuff. Man, no, man.
Do you ever get in? It's obviously something you like it. It's a hobby.
I majored. I went to school. I went to college for chemical engineering. Then I changed to speech communications.
Do you get into it now? Do you still?
I'm a tech head. So, no, and I was all. It went from chemistry to technology.
So
but
now,
I still miss a beaker. I still miss chemical reaction. I still miss stirring stuff up and telling people, let that settle.
That's so interesting.
Don't touch it.
Seriously, you're making me I never had order. A chemistry set when I was a kid because my father, at a young age, my father was like, no.
He knew?
Yeah.
Dude.
Like that's,
but I ordered the basic one, but I kept adding to it.
Oh, yeah.
I had the basic kit, but I started getting real stuff. I would order stuff. Like I felt like I was a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You what? Would fake that's, like you were a hospital?
Yeah, they thought they were sent into a hospital.
How'd you do that?
It was the 70s.
You go to a hospital, it's still the stationery.
Now you just make your own.
Yeah, see, there was no high tech right then. So you could just steal stationery from the hospital and use that pad from the hospital to order supplies.
And it was the 70s. It's not like they could get on Google and find out if you were a real hospital at that address.
That book, Catch Me If You Can, I lived by that.
Catch Me If You Can was a fast.
Dude, I read that book. I was a kid.
Is
he was on Johnny Carson.
Is the book better
than
the movie?
He was on Johnny Carson. The real dude was on Johnny Carson.
But is it better than
yes,
the movie?
Yes, I said, I'm him. Dude, I'm doing him.
That's a guy who faked being an airline pilot?
Dude, he did everything.
Yeah.
He did
a doctor,
everything.
A lawyer, whatever.
I was
just
a con artist.
Just tell people you are.
I told my dad, I'm going to be a con artist. I'm not going to have a regular job. I'm going to be a con artist. And my first con I pulled was, you used to open an account at a bank. When they give you your checks, the early checks, the deposit have no name on it. I will put those out there. I will remove the deposit checks. They were in the lobby. So when people were depositing checks, it was going to my account. But I never touched the money. $10,000 went in there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah? Wow.
I used to take cars when I was in college. We needed a car for the weekend. So I said, I'll go get one. They said, what are you going to do? The Brown Hotel in Denver was a very swanky hotel. I had the same valet. I saw what kind of vest they were using. So I stood a block down. I stayed with the valet on, and I told the guys, whoever tips, I just give you. So the valet parkers didn't mess with me. So I would wait for a car I wanted, but the guy had to be a jerk. I only take the car if a jerk.
That's right. You have your
I have my rules.
Yeah.
That's right. We have ethics around here. We are ethical cons.
Oh,
that's right.
I just saw another trait for serial killers. It has weird rules. It's another one.
So the guy comes up, and he has a Porsche, man. And he throws
and
me
that's
the
how
keys.
You knew?
You know, he threw me the keys like this. He threw me the keys.
Dismissive.
He goes, good catch. I said, yes, sir. He goes like this. He goes, really like this. That's a really nice car. You know what? If you work really hard, I'm not saying you can have it. You know, I think if you really work hard and you're honest in life, you can get one. I said, why would I do that? I can take this one. He laughed. I popped a U-turn.
Gone.
I just love the look in the rearview mirror. Hey, you dummy. And I went and picked my friends up. We went to a party. But I would bring the cars back at night, so I didn't think it was stealing. I would put the car back in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one weekend, I'm about to take cars, and the valet parker's looking like this.
Don't do it.
He's
that
saying
guy
no.
Was looking for, they did this. So I just went and stood next to them. They said, they already came and talked to us. Wow. Yeah, dude. So it was. I took a boot, the Denver boot. It was called the Denver boot. Now it's a boot everywhere.
Right.
It was tested in Denver. You can't get that. No one's ever successfully ever getting a boot off a car. You can't get that boot off a car. I said, well, if the police can get it off, then I said, if I can make so much money. Because by the time you put a boot in the car, you owe $300-$500.
Yeah.
So I went to the police station, act like I was doing a report on technology about the Denver boot. And they showed me, I stole the key. They take the boot off.
Oh, yes. My God.
So I would take the boot for my friends, for the brothers, I would pop the boot for free. For the rich white kids, I would charge them $200-$300.
Nice.
And then one guy said, oh, you take it off for the brothers. Someone told me, don't do anymore. You get that feeling? Yeah. I said, yeah, I'm going to charge you $300. How about you? How you like that? Dude, that night, dude, the snow was so crisp. The air was so cold. You know, you walk, it's just chill in the air. You can feel the snow. I walked to this car to get the boot off. I said, walk away. Someone said, walk away. I said,
that inner voice was telling you.
As soon as I popped that boot, I learned to trust my voice after that. As soon as I popped the boot, this black detective. And what's the chance of a black detective in Denver in 1974? He says, we've been trying to figure out who is taking this boot off the car. He said, kid, it's a felony. He said, give me the damn key. Give me the damn key. Just give me the damn key. I'll see you tomorrow. And I took off, went to the dorm. He came back the next day. Tell me your history. What did you do? I told him to play ball. He said, kid, you're either going to be smart or you're going to go to prison.
Wow.
He said, they've been tripping on how this boot is coming off. They're gonna redo the whole thing.
Wow.
That is so awesome.
So he watched my
but
whole
you know
career.
What? Yeah. He ended up watching me play ball.
Oh, he did.
My life.
That guy changed because if that guy didn't, who knows?
Yeah. He said,
if you make the wrong
decision. He said, there's a lot of smart people that go to prison.
But if he'd have taken you to jail, dude, then that could have been your life.
It's a felony. It's a felony. I would have had a felony on my record.
He absolutely changed your life. So that's awesome.
So I guess I should get rid of my blue box too, right? You can make long-distance phone calls for free. So
just all right. That's great, man.
And they're telling us we have to wrap.
We got to wrap.
So
you got places
because,
to go.
Yeah.
We got fires to set. Man.
We're going to watch you.
Fires
to set. Right, fires set. I got beds to pee on.
I got my chemistry set in the trunk.
I got a report to view on boots.
You can see Sinbad. He's playing Zanies, Nashville. Also playing. He's in a bunch of our places, Bubba. Where else?
So like I said, Zanies, Nashville, New York City, Albuquerque,
and I'm with
Portland.
Victor Wooten, man. I'm gonna travel with Victor Wooten and his band.
Oh, really?
Nice.
Yes.
Like you. What do you do now? Singing or are you playing drums?
I play percussion. I'm congas, man.
Okay.
All right.
Yo.
We'll be at Pelham.
We'll be at Pelham at the Bluegrass Cavern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're gonna be underground.
Right. Yeah.
Bluegrass Underground.
Yeah. Have you been there?
Never, man.
Oh, it's gonna be tripping.
Yo, April, man.
Okay.
It's be tripping.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
cool. That's
Again,
a cool place.
April 29th.
Go right now to Facebook. That's probably the easiest place to find him because there you'll have all the links to everything. You'll have the info on Zanies for this weekend, tonight and all that. Sinbad Bad if you have to search him that way. But you can
Twitter,
easily.
Instagram.
Sinbad Bad. But again,
catch me outside the biscuit.
Catch you outside the
biscuit
what?
Biscuit love.
Biscuit oh, biscuit love. Love.
Catch me
oh,
outside. Yeah. We eat breakfast. Just catch me outside and sit down with me. We'll talk about chemistry and things.
Yeah, and if you get a boot on your car,
I got
he's
you.
He's the guy.
I got you.
I mean,
he used to be the guy.
If you need somebody gone?
He knows the guy.
If you're white, that's a little bit.
And I'm black.
I'm
an equal. I'm diversifying. I had to diversify.
Again, Sinbad on Facebook. Look for the blue verified check mark. Again, check him out this weekend and on the road all over the country. Just amazing. Thank you for coming in, man.
Dude, and not a serial killer. I would have been an assassin. That's different.
That's a totally
well,
different
Well, that goes
thing.
Back that's to what
you
said.
Remember I told you? I told you could be a CIA
See?
Agent?
Mm-hmm.
I was closer.
A great assassin. Now, you
was
know that.
I was closer
what
than
do you,
you
mean,
realized.
You could have been. You still might be.
I would
be.
Love to have been sitting somewhere like, hey, man, how you doing, John? Drinking with somebody like this. Oh, by the way, Earl says hello.
Yeah, boom.
Yo.
I told you.
And then slump him over his drink and say, hey, he needs a cab.
There's something about you. You've got
a cab.
You've got a something about you that's... And now that when you opened up about all that stuff,
yeah,
that's why I had to act,
sense.
Bro. I had to find other things to do.
It made sense.
All right,
I had to find other stuff.
Sinbad, woo!
Yes,
Sinbad, go and check him out again.
Check
all
out my
over
podcast.
The place. Oh, and your podcast is
I don't have it yet, but I'm gonna do one.
Okay,
The World According to Sinbad. The World According to Sinbad.
There you go. Thank you again to O'Reilly Auto Parts for sponsoring the podcast. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay.
I got a boot in my car.
Listen to the regular show.
I know a guy
on the radio every day.
Take it off for you.
It was the podcast.
We had a dorm room.
Wait, hold on. We got to shut this down. They're going to cuss at us.
I thought y'all was done.
No, we done now.